All right. Good morning, everybody. How are you doing? Good. It's the rule that if Gary and Joy go to BCC to speak, then BCC has to send somebody here. But I'm in between. I'm both. I'm BIF BCC. So I'm glad to come back. For those of you who don't know me, and I don't know you, hi, I'm Sheldon. I was pastoring the church here for about 5.5 years before Gary and Joy, the new pastors, came and took over. And we're still part of the overall Bratislava City Church and BIF family. So it's good to be back here with you. So let's pray. Is the PowerPoint ready? We got a PowerPoint, but let's pray as we come into a time of looking at God's Word together. Lord, thank you for your Word. Thank you that you are good and you've spoken to us through your Word about your goodness. And Lord, as I share your Word today, Lord, may something of it just come alive within us and plant good seeds within us so that good fruit grows out of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So Gary and Joy asked me to continue the series on the fruit of the Spirit. So it's been an ongoing series here at BIF. And so we have been looking at the different fruit. And so Gary asked me to preach on this on the series. He gave me the fruit of goodness. All right? So goodness. Now, I thought, when he told me that, I thought, goodness. Yeah, okay. You know, it's one of those fruit of the Spirit where you're like, okay, we got love, you know, we got joy, peace, patience. You know, we all know about that. You know, like those are like the watermelons and grapes and bananas of the bunch, but goodness. It was just kind of like a meh, goodness. Like, what do we mean by that? It's one of those strange words, at least in English, good. Good today just doesn't seem to be good enough, right? No one wants to be just good. Business books, there's business books about being good to great. You know, we want to be great. Or pursuing excellence. Like that's like a corporate value for many companies. Excellence. It's not good. You got to be excellent. Or, you know, we want world-class experiences. You know, we want 5-star. We want to be the best. So good. Like goodness. Good is, it's so common in English that we use the word good to describe like lots of things. So we can use it of a person, you know, oh, he's a good guy, right? Or we can use it of competency. She's a really good doctor. Or strength, you know, the brakes in my car, they're really good. Or taste, oh, that's a really good flavor of ice cream, right? Or even morality, you have good ethics. So this word good, at least in English, is very broad and very general. So when Gary told me, oh, yeah, you get to talk about goodness, I'm like, okay, sure. I don't know what I'm going to say about goodness because it just seems, in some ways, a little bit boring. All right, I'm going to admit that. Don't, you know, stone me as a heretic. But this one just seemed a little bit boring to me. It's just there. It's right in the middle of the fruit of the Spirit. But it is a fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so it's something that the Holy Spirit wants to develop in all of us. We all need the fruit of goodness in our lives. So what do we need to do? And this is just pretty standard. We need to understand what goodness really is. Okay, we need to know why we need it, and then we need to know how we can live it out. So, like I said, good just doesn't seem to be good enough today. So what is goodness? So, be honest. How many of you, when I said I'm going to talk about goodness today, you just kind of glazed over, like, oh, yeah, goodness, oh, big deal. Like, you want more faith or love or peace, you know, but goodness, eh. Did you even think about it? Like, oh, I wonder what goodness is. Here's what most of us think goodness is. We think it's about being a moral and upright life, right? Being a good man or woman. Or we think it's a virtue, like that's a good rule to follow. You should follow that rule. It's good. Or we sometimes think it's similar to kindness. And if we look at the scripture here, you know, patience, kindness, goodness, they're kind of linked together. So many people think that kindness and goodness are the same thing. But in order for us to understand the word, we need to see what the Bible says, okay? The best way to define a word in the Bible is to see how the word is used in other parts of the Bible, okay? So that's a good place to start. Let's see, what does the Bible say about goodness? Unfortunately, it's not very helpful because this word is only used four other times in the Bible, and twice they're very similar, okay? So, obviously, Galatians 5:22, the passage we're looking at today, but the fruit of the Spirit is blah, 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 you know, all those things. Sorry, not blah, blah, blah. They are important. All the fruit of the Spirit are important, okay? But, you know, goodness is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Then if you read Ephesians 5:8 and 9, we'll skip to that one first. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." It's the same word. But once again, it's kind of fruit. The fruit of your life is goodness. Then we have Romans 15:14. "I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another." And then 2 Thessalonians 1:11 says, "With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may bring to fruition," there's that fruit idea again, "to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith." Now, in these passages, we get some clues as to what the Bible means by goodness, but it's not really comprehensive, right? If you read that, you're still not you're not fully sure what the Bible means by goodness. In two of the passages, it talks about the fruit of your life will be goodness. In the Romans passage, Paul says, "I'm convinced you are full of goodness. You as a church in Rome, you are full of goodness. And because of that, you can teach each other, you can instruct each other." And in Thessalonians, Paul writes to that church and he says that, you know, "I pray that by God's power, your desires for goodness may come to pass and the deeds that you do." So there's some clues here that goodness is something that, yes, is in the church and it's connected with the way we interact with each other and also the things that we do. So, for those of you who know me, you know I like my words. So we're going to look at the Greek word. The Greek word for goodness that's used in this passage is agathosune. See, say that. It sounds like you're sneezing, right? Agathosune. Okay? That is what it means. But it means active, even aggressive goodness. Okay? And this is when I started to look at this word, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Goodness is not as boring as I thought it was. It's not just excellence of character. Oh, you're a good person. But it's your character energized. It's your character energized. It's the life of Christ in you coming alive and prompting you to take action. Even, as one commentator said, aggressive action. So goodness is all about taking action when you see something wrong in the world around you. It's action that may actually require you to get dirty and to get angry because of the injustice you see. So goodness has nothing to do with whether or not you watch Disney movies or something on Netflix, okay? It's about the action you take in the world around you. And the best way to understand a word sometimes is to see it used in a sentence or a story. And so we're going to look at Jesus for a moment here. Jesus, we know, was full of kindness, right? Kindness. Jesus was full of kindness. And kindness and goodness are two different things. So Jesus was often kind to people, like the lepers that nobody wanted to talk to, or the children that were seen as insignificant, or the woman at the well who had a shady past and everyone kind of ignored her. And we say that, you know, Jesus showed kindness by talking to people, by touching people, by just, you know, speaking with them and going to their parties. He was a kind person, okay? But Jesus also acted in goodness. And goodness, like we said, it's very active and aggressive. The goodness of Jesus is shown when he cleanses the temple. Okay? This was not a kind act. Okay? If you know the story, Jesus goes into the temple and sees that the court where the Gentiles are allowed to come and worship God is just filled with animals for sacrifices and money lenders, and he looks at it and the whole thing is corrupt. It's all about making money, and it's all about a corrupt system that is keeping people away from worshiping God. And so Jesus doesn't go in there and start being kind to the people selling animals. Hey, how you doing? What's going on? Why are you selling these animals? You know, he doesn't do that. The Bible says in the book of John, actually, says he goes out and he makes a whip. Okay, that is not a kind act. Okay, he goes out, he makes a whip, and he goes into the temple and he starts. If you're going to make a whip, you're going to use it, right? Okay, let's not kid ourselves. Jesus didn't just make a whip and, you know, put it in his back pocket. He starts driving people out of the temple court. He's turning over tables. He's scattering money everywhere. He is cleansing the temple. And as he does that, he says, you know, my house is supposed to be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. Jesus is fighting against injustice. He's fighting against something that is not right. He is trying to help people who want to worship God be able to do that. And he's cleaning out corruption. This is an act of goodness. Now, on the surface, we might say, no, that's an act of violence. That's you know, bad Jesus. Good Jesus is the one that, you know, pets children on the head and says, come to me, and welcomes them. No, this is goodness in action. This is what the Bible means by the fruit of goodness. It is your character, the character of Christ in you, energized so that you take action against something that is not right. So, why do we need goodness? Now, here's a lovely picture of a bunch of people dead on the ground. You know, the image of goodness and Christians from the past has often been shaped kind of by Victorian era English, you know, very upright, proper, you know, do your top button up kind of thing, you know. But actually, goodness throughout church history has looked like this. Now, let me explain what this is before you jump to any conclusions, all right? In the 3rd century AD, an epidemic swept across northern Africa. They think it might have been smallpox or some sort of disease that, thankfully, because of vaccines, we've eradicated. So it swept across North Africa, Italy, and the Western Empire. And as many as 5,000 people a day were dying in Rome alone. So imagine in Bratislava, 5,000 people a day just dropping dead because of a plague, a virus. And in the Roman Empire, there was no sense of human dignity like we have today. So the sick were abandoned in the streets and the dead were being left unburied. And if you don't bury dead people who have died of a disease, that just continues to spread the disease. There's so much panic. People were just letting their family members die. If you got sick, you were abandoned and people were running away. It was chaos. Okay, chaos. Now in Carthage, which was a main Roman city at that time, the Christians were blamed for the disease, right? Conveniently enough. And the emperor ordered Christians to sacrifice to their gods to end it. So, you know, the pagan priests are sacrificing, trying to get rid of this plague. And the emperor says, you Christians, you started this. You need to sacrifice to your gods to end it. And Carthage's bishop, Cyprian, you know what he did? He encouraged and he said to the Christians in the city, we need to care for the sick and the dying. That is our sacrifice to our God. That we will care for the sick and dying. And so while everyone is leaving the city and running away from the plague, the Christians stayed in the city. They buried the dead and they risked getting sick by taking in the sick. And in fact, many Christians died as a result of this. But they said, no, our goodness means that we will not abandon those in need. Our goodness means we will not run away from the sick and the dying, but in fact, we will care for them. We will bury the dead. We will care for the sick, even if it means we get sick and die ourselves, because that is what the goodness of Christ in us does. This was repeated over times in the early centuries of the church during other epidemics. This wasn't the only time this happened. Christians introduced a new concern and standard of care for sick people. And there's an author, Rodney Stark, and I encourage you, if you get a chance to read this book, it's The Rise of Christianity. And he argues that when you look at the growth of the church over historical period, that the biggest growth periods in the church's history were in the early centuries, correlate when the church showed compassion for the sick, the dying, the oppressed. In fact, he tracks increased conversion rates during three different plagues. So this wasn't the only plague in the Roman Empire. During the Antonine Plague in the 2nd century, the Cyprian Plague, this one in the 3rd century, and the Justinian Plague in the 6th century. Christians demonstrated their love for God, biblical values, and goodness, and that offered a very attractive witness to the world around them. So as people were running away from their, you know, dying grandmother or whatever, Christians were coming and caring for them. And people were saying, wait a minute, why aren't you running away? Because the love of Christ compels us to be good and to show goodness. And you know what? This example has been followed throughout the history of the Christian church. Catholic orders were devoted to caring for the sick. Mennonites in Holland and Quakers in England, they formed societies to improve health care. Modern medical missionaries carry on in this mission today. In fact, I was reading one article about one of the Ebola outbreaks that happened just recently in Africa. Once again, people fleeing in panic, and those that were going in were Christian missionaries and doctors going in to bury the dead, risk getting sick themselves, because that is the compassionate and good thing to do. And today, you know, we do take this for granted, that the responsibility is to care for the sick. Go to the hospital, or, you know, the government will sort it out. But back then, it was Christians practicing what the Bible taught them that began caring for those in need. And over the centuries, in fact, the church has been at the forefront of many issues that have benefited humanity, including the end of slavery, education for children, eradicating poverty, ending hunger, prison reform, being peacemakers, and on and on. But you know what? That's not just a simple conversation where you sit down and be kind to someone. That requires active goodness, where you go out and you fight for the oppressed. You take action that is going to change the way the world is. Goodness comes out of a sense of morality and living differently than the standards of the world around us. It's activated character and good actions that have changed society for the benefit of others. See, goodness means we work for the good of others. That's what the fruit of goodness is, that you and I are working for the good of others. And you know what? As someone who's involved in missionary work and pastoral work, I have to admit, images of Christians today are not so good, right? Depending where you go in the world. Rightly or wrongly, we've been accused of things like being out of touch, supporting nationalism or racism or bigotry or some pretty ugly things in the world. And you know what? Christians have used the Bible to defend terrible injustices as well throughout the centuries. But the church is also involved in goodness. Actually, we've done a lot of good as BIF over the years. And we still have a role to play in changing the world. Remember, you know, the refugee crisis a few years ago. People here at BIF rose up and you donated your time, money, energy, so that we could show even just a little bit of love to those who were fleeing war and economic oppression. Many of you sacrificed in tangible ways. The church today is leading the charge against modern-day slavery and human trafficking. That's one of the things I'm involved in, something called the European Freedom Network. People from the church are standing on the front lines and saying, this should not be happening in our world anymore. And all of us are called to be preserving agents in the world to help set things right and to fight against injustices and destruction of all sorts. And you've heard me say this a lot for those of you who know me, and Gary a few weeks ago used this scripture, but it's so powerful. There's so much truth here that we have to keep reminding ourselves that God is reconciling the world. That's the mission of the gospel. Okay? The mission of the gospel is not to get you saved and get you to heaven. The mission of the gospel is that God is reconciling all of his creation back to himself. It starts with the cross, but it continues on. But the thing is, reconciliation is a messy, messy process. Because it takes effort and energy to get two people that are warring against each other to stop hating, stop fighting. It takes convincing people who are destroying God's earth to stop doing that. It takes, you know, you and me taking a deep look within ourselves and saying, how am I contributing to the problems of humanity? But God is reconciling the world to himself, and it's a messy job. As Paul reminds us, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. And goodness is at the heart of this ministry that God has given us. Goodness is about pushing back the darkness. And it's active, and it's messy, and it requires us to be willing to do good things, even if it's going to cost us something. So, you know what? Goodness is not as boring as I thought it was. Goodness is also not as passive as I thought it was. It's very, very active. And the wonderful thing about the fruit of goodness is that it shows us that you and I, we are not powerless as people of faith. In fact, the fruit of goodness develops and grows in our lives, and it gives us energy to go forward. Remember, it's a fruit of the Spirit, and the Spirit has come to give you power to be witnesses. And not just with your words, but the way you live. Witnesses and ministers of reconciliation. So you are not powerless when you try to do goodness. Okay? You're not powerless. We have something inside of us that compels us forward to get involved in making things better, in making them good. And you don't do it alone either. You have the church. Everyone here in this room, we are supposed to be doing goodness together. So, how do we do it? How do we do it? Well, like all fruit, the seed of the fruit is within the fruit. Okay, ooh, very zen there, right? No. The seed of the fruit is within the fruit. But that's how God designed fruit. God didn't design fruit just so you could eat it and throw it away. The seeds of the fruit are within the fruit. And those seeds, when they're planted, grow trees that multiply to being more fruit. And within all those fruits is more seeds that when they get planted, grow into trees and produce more fruit. So the seed of goodness is actually within you and I, doing goodness. The more goodness we do, the more it grows within us. It's like all the fruit of the Spirit. You know, if you want the fruit of love to grow within you, then you know what? Start loving. If you want to have the Spirit, the fruit of peace inside of you, then you know what? Start working for peace. But if you want to see the fruit of goodness grow within you, then start doing acts of goodness. And you know what? The Holy Spirit will energize that, and he will give you more opportunities to do that. So the more we want it, the more we ask for it, and the more we practice it, the more it's going to grow within us. And here's just for those of you who like, you know, steps and, you know, some people like conceptual. Okay, I get that. For those of you who like, you know, your steps and your recipes and stuff like that, here's maybe four good things that you can follow. The first one is recognize God's goodness in our lives already. Remember, goodness means it's active. It's almost aggressive action even. And God doesn't ask us to do something he wasn't willing to do. Okay? General goodness of God. There's a general goodness of God in the world in just sustaining everything. He gives rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. He gives food to the animals. God is at work in his world, not just in creation and took his hand off of it, but he is constantly showing goodness to all creation. Okay, so we have to understand that God's goodness is already at work. But then there's also the goodness of salvation, right? The act of Jesus dying on the cross was a good act. It was a terribly violent and ugly act, but it was a display of God's goodness. So God is already showing his goodness to us. but specifically in your own lives. God has showed goodness to you over and over. He's been actively good in all of our lives, even when you don't see it. And so, in fact, some of the greatest goodness is the things we don't see God doing behind the scenes. Maybe stopping us from doing things that we shouldn't do, or protecting us from disasters that could have happened. You know, God's been actively good in our lives over the last 6 months, just with all the different journeys we've been going through. You know, in fact, a few weeks ago, someone just came up to us, just randomly, like this happens occasionally, just randomly. We didn't know them at all. They'd heard Anna speak about something, and they just gave us the holy handshake. Have you ever gotten one of those? Where they just said, we really feel that God just wants us to bless you with this, and gave us an envelope, and inside the envelope was a little bit of money. In fact, it was enough money for us to cover Anna and I our first weekend away after 2 years of not having time away from our kids and just with all the things that had been going on with her mom. And it was just God's way of showing goodness, active goodness to us. We didn't expect it. We didn't deserve it. But God just said, you know what? This will cover what you need. Like, just active goodness. And if all of us were really honest and looked back on our lives, we would see moments where God has actively shown goodness, either through other individuals or just in ways that we don't even understand. But he has been active in our lives. So if you want to show goodness in your life, you got to start there. See where God has been good in your life and realize he's not asking you to do anything he's not willing to do himself. Number two, though, it's be informed. If we want opportunities to show goodness and to do good, then we need to know where goodness is needed the most. We need to know where goodness is needed the most. And for me, you know, you don't have to look far. You just go online and, you know, read a news website, or, you know, if you still read, you know, analog newspapers, you know, you are going to see disasters. You're going to see problems all over the world. If you actually ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, today reveal to me where goodness is needed the most at my workplace, I guarantee you that is a prayer that will be answered. That's one of those 100% prayers, okay? If you want to see how God answers prayers, pray that prayer tomorrow morning before you go into the office, because God will show you where goodness is needed, okay? So we need to be informed. We need to be aware. And not just read, you know, this is, you know, the ultra-conservative view on this issue. This is the ultra-liberal view on this issue. You know, but actually say, but where is the Christian view? Where is the goodness view on this issue of, you know, displaced people, or of poverty, or of homelessness, or of drug addiction, or fill in the blank with whatever need you want? We need to be informed. And like I said, read, look, investigate the issues around us. And it is easy to feel overwhelmed, okay? I'll admit that. As one person, it's really easy to feel overwhelmed when I look at big issues like climate change or political unrest or economic collapse or refugees. I'm like, oh my goodness. Oh, goodness, see? Huh? In English we say that, oh my goodness. Oh, there you go. But we can all get involved if we're knowledgeable and prayerful about those issues. So get informed. Don't bury your head in the sand. And Bratislava is a wonderful city, but you know what? There's areas where goodness is needed. So ask God to reveal to you. Be informed. And then just be involved in some good thing. Remember, you have the power of the Spirit within you. This is a fruit of the Spirit that's growing within you. So you can be active in some way in showing goodness. And if you're like, well, I'm a beginner in this. I don't know. You know, I'm not going to jump into the deep end right away. Well, you know, get involved at serving at BIF. There's probably multiple ways that you can just show goodness here within this community. That's a good place to start. In fact, talk to Gary, talk to Joy, talk to anyone on the leadership team, and they will give you opportunities to show goodness. Or look for volunteer opportunities in the city. There's actually lots of people, maybe not of our tribe, but there's lots of people in Bratislava who are doing good. And we're called to be salt and light, which means we can go into any opportunity and we can show goodness. So find those volunteer opportunities and donate some of your time. And if you can't give your time, give some of your money. Just show goodness in some practical way in blessing the city and blessing some of the issues. Just choose to live out an energized ethic and character. when you go into your work tomorrow, like I said, I like to talk about work because you spend most of your life there. So when you go into work tomorrow, maybe your organization or your company has a social responsibility initiative or some sort of ethical outreach or whatever. Get involved in that. Don't say, well, it's not a church thing. I can't touch that. No, you know what? If it's helping people, blessing people, and changing the world for good, Jesus is already there. Because that is the ministry of reconciliation. Get involved in that. Be a leader in that as someone who has goodness coming out of their lives. Or, like I said, take the goodness challenge. This week, activate your character. All the things Christ has put in your life and use it in a way that is active, almost aggressive in showing love and goodness to someone else. Like, before you leave today, and in fact, that's how we'll end, I'm going to pray that God will show each of us one way that we can show real goodness this week. The goodness challenge, we'll call it, okay? One way that you will do something that is active, that actually changes a situation for somebody in a good, positive, reconciling way. And it might be something little, I don't know. And sometimes some of the littlest things that we do actually have the biggest impact for somebody else. But take the goodness challenge. You know, I love how Paul kind of wraps up about the fruit of the Spirit. You know, he lists the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And he says, against such things, there is no law. There's no law against goodness. There's no one saying to you, you can't do goodness. And Paul is talking, you know, he's talking about the old law of the Old Testament, you know, that the law dictates what you can and can't do. And Paul is saying, you know what? There is no law against goodness. So nobody is stopping you. In fact, the world is waiting for us as the people of God to maybe start being good again. And like I said, it's not about moral uprightness, but it's about being active in the world and helping to alleviate the suffering, helping to do something that reconciles people and God's creation back to himself. So we can and should be developing this fruit by trusting that the Holy Spirit will show us where we can practice active goodness. And let's be open this week to the character of Christ being formed in us and also practiced through us. Let's stand together. Hopefully you've seen a little different side of goodness today, but this is specifically what we're going to pray about today. And if you're willing to take the goodness challenge this week, then I invite you, just as I pray, to open up your heart and your mind to the Holy Spirit, that he would show you, maybe even right now in this moment, or as you progress through your week, where you can be active in showing goodness to somebody this week.